my S on my show, the cable show, on the cable show, yes, I T H, I threaten, R, I throw in everything, which includes interviews like this, which includes Frank's live performances, right. Videotapes That's from right. other people.
Right.
M, music, poetry. Yeah, like this past week we ran a poetry series at the Cafe poetry. International in San Francisco and a video by Ron Jones, who is a poet and a performer. That is what they are e really. The nonlinear aspects of it, is that what you mean? The nonlinear aspects of it, the way that you don't, Frank calls it the ultimate variety show. It's 2.5 hours, but you don't know. Like, you'll be sitting there watching this interview, which, like, maybe people will think is boring. And right. then, boom, there's a nude person taking a shower.
Right.
You know, and then right. there's a band right. playing a set at a punk club. And it's just like, it's one thing after another, so it's right. it's not the normal, it's not functioning within the normal
it breaks
frame.
Breaks the official discourse.
Yes, yes, yes,
breaks
yes.
the official discourse.
Yes.
That's important.
They... S, A, they say, you don't, W, A, R, warn, what is coming, N, next. That's what upsets people.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
They can't cope with that.
Yes. Right. They can't cope with that.
They can't control it.
Yeah.
They can't control.
If it was D U D U M dumb sex. That might be easier
oh,
for
right.
people.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, that they can cope. That's yeah. a stereotype.
That's right.
Another yeah. stereotype. Right.
Yes.
Right. Sure. That's good. I understand.
The but if you T H R throw everything in it R E V O revolution.
It's a revolutionary revelation.
Right. It's a revolutionary revelation. Yeah. But A L O lot of S O so called are radicals.
Yeah.
A lot of so called radicals have a problem with it, with what we do. For various reasons. Nine will not, nine will not see. Oh, come on. Did you say nine or some and will not come on the show? Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like E, the EFF, that organization? Electronic Frontier Foundation.
I don't know.
Which exists exactly in the same reason we exist. They exist to take back the internet and keep it the way it is now, rather than having the power structure control it. And when Frank invited their spokesperson, she was interested in being on, and then she checked out the site, and she said, you know, what do I have in common with your site? Why do you want me on the site? Frank said, well, how about, and he lists the whole thing, which was really kicking her butt, you know.
Right.
Never heard back from her. Mm. Yeah.
Right.
If someone offered me 2.5 hours to speak your mind.
Yes, right.
You'd take it.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. If you're connected to people who struggle, really, right? Because it's not about me or you or us.
Right.
It's about people who struggle for change, right?
Exactly.
And giving them the microphone. Put the microphone in the trenches.
Yes.
In the struggle.
Yes.
On the street. You know, that's what they don't like.
Right? Why?
Or people's real problems, right?
Why don't some... are radicals? Why don't some radicals get it? Why don't some radicals get that?
Because I think because they are very concerned about many defeats that we have all suffered over the last few decades, and they want to give a good impression, quote unquote. So they don't.
Wow.
They are very concerned, afraid of what will they say. In Spanish, we say "qué dirán." What will they say, right? Mm. So they are super conventional because they think they have to pay that price to say something different. So actually, and you see this in the trade unions. You see this in all different ways, right? So
they L O S they lose before they open their mouths.
That's right. They already gave in. They already made concessions. Exactly. They already made concessions. Right. Right.
What? How? Does that COMP compare to where what is going on in Argentina?
Very good, very good. In Argentina, all of the struggles that are going on basically break stereotypes. You know, in South America, the Catholic Church is very powerful, right? And for example, for many years, the leftists and the radicals didn't talk about a woman's right to abortion because they say, no, the workers, it's not a priority for the workers. The workers are hungry, so it's not a priority, abortion. But really, it's a capitulation to the Catholic Church and to the stereotypes. But you mustn't be afraid. I mean, this is essential. And it's not true that poor people don't care. It's very important for poor people, a woman's right to control her body. So that's one example. But the biggest taboo is property. Property. And what all of the people struggling in Argentina find is that when they attack private property, then they obtain reforms. This is the central situation. Is they don't go by the rules. For example, another example: many leftists and radicals sit in a cafe and discuss how must we struggle? Should we struggle in the neighborhood? Should we struggle in the university? Should we struggle in the trade union? In Argentina, everybody who really struggle together. So, for example, this last week, you have unemployed marching against the increase in telephone rates. So you have 10,000 unemployed people marching against the increase in telephone rates. Most of them don't have phones. Now, why? Because they have an assembly, a national assembly, and who comes? They don't look in the textbook to see who should come. The people who come are the ones who struggle. For example, the workers in a factory, you read in Los Angeles, for example, a textile factory closes. The owners made a lot of money, and now we're closing the factory. We're very poor. Business is bad. Goodbye. Okay? But in Argentina, the workers stay in the factory. And they take the factory and they produce under their own control of the factory. There are hundreds of factories in Argentina where the workers took over the buildings and took over the machines and are beginning to produce. For example, in the south, there's a ceramic factory that's called Zanon. And the workers even made an arrangement with the Indians, the Mapuche, to get clay from the Indians, and they produce ceramics. And they come to the assembly. And then another thing that happened in December, the 19th of December, and the 20th, there was a big popular rebellion, and they overthrew the president. And then, on every street corner, you have popular assemblies. Okay, popular assemblies. Imagine for a moment, the rebellion of Los Angeles came and went. But let's imagine a fantasy that you have the rebellion of Los Angeles, and then on every street corner in Watts, in the middle class, in the working class, in the black areas, people say they continue the spirit of the rebellion. We're not going to take it anymore. And they say, okay, let's organize in our neighborhood. Let's find out what the problems are. Let's stop the evictions, right? Let's address the problem of the homeless, etc. So basically, there's a unity of those who really struggle, and it's not without stereotypes.
Why don't that happen? Happen here?
Okay. I think that things in Argentina, here, for example, people talk about the ALCA or the FTAA, right? They say we are against the FTAA, the free trade agreement and all of it. But many of the activists who go to demonstrations don't know really what this means in Latin America. In Argentina, the poverty rate is 55%, the official. 60% of the gross national product goes to pay the foreign debt. The industry is completely destroyed because of the dumping that took place during a long period of time. Life does not go on. The banks are closed. People cannot take their money out of the bank because that money has to go to pay the foreign debt. So they expropriate. Like here with the 401k, the 401k, for example, is a beginning of the Argentinization of the United States, right? The 401k, no money. But what do you mean no money? I put money every month. You took money from my pay packet. What do you mean there's no money? There's no money. Okay, but in Argentina, The banks are closed because they're going to pay the foreign debt. So the situation is terrible. I was walking around the neighborhood and I saw the cardboard. In Argentina, the cardboard wouldn't last, I don't know, 20 minutes. All the cardboard that people put out. People come and they are urban miners and they take the cardboard and they process the cardboard. So in Argentina, people just, it got so bad that people said, we can't take it anymore. And there was a unity between the middle class, the working class, and the unemployed together to fight. Here, we don't have that kind of unity, and we don't have the leadership.
Why?
I think, first of all, you begin to find. Let me give you an example. The ILWU are being attacked by the PMA, by the bosses, by the maritime conglomerates. And actually, they are putting up a stiff resistance. And the day, after the lockout, some activists, and they were ecology activists, went and shut down the PMA. So this is like Argentina, because a group of activists came and supported the workers. This is new, I think. I don't think this happened before in the United States. The spirit of Seattle is the spirit of the Argentina, because the Argentine crisis is the world crisis, and it's beginning to affect the United States with this this recession, this depression, whatever it is. It's beginning. It's the same problem here that you can see in Argentina, but it's just beginning, because up till now, they exported the crisis to the poor countries, the semi-colonies, what we call the colonies and the semi-colonies and the what they call the third world, quote-unquote. The United States exported that crisis. So here they could pay better salaries and so forth. And so they postponed the crisis. But now the crisis is attacking right here, right? So now it's beginning to see the same phenomena here.
Like R A D I radical G R groups, radical groups, C O come to us. Is this about internet radio? And to find out how to do an internet station.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, that's very important.
But they don't. They W. They don't do it. They don't actually put together an internet station.
Yeah.
One. B. E. Because it. They. They think it should cost more money. Yeah. Yeah. And is there two? Two. They think they have to reach a lot more. Right, so when we tell them how to do it,
right.
And we figured out how to do it cheap since we didn't have any money.
Wonderful.
And so we tell people how to do it, and it goes again, like if a major corporation came around and wanted to put together a station, something similar to us, they'd spend like 100 times more money to do it, because
right.
They do it in a certain style. We know how to do it cheap.
Well, that's great.
So when we tell people that, they think that that's like... You know, that it's not, it should cost more.
Well, yeah. This is very important because in Argentina there is a group. I brought today some videos. One is called Los Piqueteros, which is the picketers, the one who organized national roadblocks to get their demands, to get food, to get pensions, to get bags of food, to get jobs, and to get their prisoners out of prison. I'll tell you, this is a success story I'm going to tell you about. Raul Castells was freed recently. I'm going to tell you about that. But what I wanted to say is that there is a collective of filmmakers, and they are called El Ojo Obrero, which is the worker's eye. And they made this film. And they are interested in setting up a website to stream their videos. The problem in Argentina, the organizations, the radical and revolutionary organizations, are growing very quickly, and most of the people do not read. They don't have the habit of reading, so they must use video to make political discussions, because a real revolutionary organization wants the new people in the leadership. They don't want the old people in the leadership. They want the new strugglers in the leadership. And how do you form new leaders? How do you create political discussion if people are not used to reading? And what they do is they use the videos in all of the soup kitchens in the different communities. And we need to support groups like this. And they want to use the internet to show outside of Argentina. In Argentina, working class people have very little access to the internet, unfortunately.
H-E-H-E-R. Here. Some are a radical groups. V. Video. M. A. Make R R S
makers
will not give us tapes to play because they think they might be able to make some money off them, so they don't want to show them for free.
That's stupid, because people will want to support. How will people won't know about it if you don't stream it on the, you know, you have to show people that it's there.
We get C O P copies anyway. Right. We end up getting them anyway.
So
somebody else gives them to us.
Yeah, there's no private ownership of intellectual property. That's finished with the internet.
Yeah.
Video, multimedia is very important in Argentina, and all of the events that have happened. I lived in Argentina for many years. I lived in the dictatorship. I lived there for 25 years in Argentina. Mm. I came back to live in the States, and I went back earlier this year, and I stayed for 6 weeks. I went to the National Assembly of Workers, employed and unemployed workers, and they voted a plan of struggle. This was in June, and just the other day, on September 28th and 29th, they had another assembly, and they vote a plan of struggle, and then they do it. They call a press conference. They have they say we will block all the accesses to the city, to demand the freedom of Raul Castells, to demand food for all, jobs for all. Okay, and they go and they do it, right? And they film it, and they have videos. They have videos of it.
How did they do that?
Well, they do because the spirit of the rebellion of December is still strong, and the politicians cannot break it. They did. When I was there at one of the bridges, they killed. The police came and killed two piqueteros. So there are... people do get killed, but basically the struggles are victorious because the government made a plan to repress, to attack, and it failed because they killed two workers, and then 50,000 people came out in Buenos Aires three times, and it created more of a unity between the middle class, the university, the workers, the unemployed together, and so they had to say, okay, we'll bring forward the elections. Okay, so they had to make concessions, and they realized they cannot repress right now, because in order to repress, in order to attack physically, they need to have the middle class supporting them, and they don't, because everybody is it's a system that doesn't work anymore. Everybody's convinced it has to change.
H E here the middle class,
yes,
thinks it in they are a P A a part of the R U ruling class.
That's right.
Or
yeah.
At least can be.
Right. This illusion of I can be rich. Even some workers who receive severance pay, they think, I can make a candy store and I'll be okay. You know, this illusion is quickly the capitalist crisis destroys this illusion very quickly in Argentina. In 1976, the military dictatorship that came that killed 30,000 fighters, 30,000. Shop floor stewards, not only guerrilleros or guerrillas, you know, there was the guerrilla fighting, mm-hmm. and all that, but basically they killed advanced workers, organized workers, mainly because some sectors of the middle class supported the military. They were more afraid of the people than the military. But today,
yes.
today this is not true, because the crisis is deeper. And in the United States, we will soon see demonstrations of people with 401k saying, "Where's my money?" Mm-hmm. Right? And I think that this will change in the United States. It's a question of this illusion, the boom, the so-called boom of the last 10 years, which has ended completely, reinforced the illusion that everybody can be rich, Rockefeller, you know, the self-made man. This is the capitalist crisis is showing that even in the United States, Europe, so-called advanced countries, this is an illusion. So that's changing.
The P O, the other thing that. Was this number two? When people would ask us about starting an internet thing, the other thing was that they felt like it wasn't worth it unless they were going to reach a lot of people.
Oh, I see.
You got to reach a lot of people.
Right. Well, to grow, you have to begin solid and grow organically, right?
Yes. Yeah. S. So they don't. So they don't do it because they can't reach a lot
of
people.
That's because the revolutionary struggles haven't begun yet. But in Argentina, there are 150 popular assemblies that meet on the street corner. Every one has a Yahoo group. every single one has a Yahoo group. And they use the internet. So we need, when the people struggle, they need the internet, they need the media. To organize, then they need it.
That
it's not a media show question.
A. D. Adds up, and that adds up.
Right, and if they have facilities to easily do streaming media, for example, we all know Argentina Indymedia is, you know, in the media, it's interesting, it, you know, with its limitations, so forth. But at least, you know, you have some access to what's happening, and it's somewhat open, right? But if there was more, if there was a lava.com in Argentina, or they had access to streaming media, it would be fantastic, right? Because I want to emphasize, it's not a question of the media. It's a question of needing the media to organize the revolution.
Right.
The media is the revolution, because it's what, you know, what did Enemy at the Gates, the movie Enemy at the Gates, okay? They show in the middle of the battle, the guy goes out in a car and leaflets. Okay, so propaganda. Okay, so now, because they're organizing, right? So the organization depends on streaming media, depends on the internet to organize. It's not a question of I must sell my video, right?
To or not to mass, not to the mass media, no, masses,
right?
No, a audience, don't worry about reaching mass audiences, a if you are e if you reach one person, you, he, R, E, he reaches two people, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure, yeah. definitely. And, you know, in Argentina, the newspapers from the radical groups, they don't use the mail. They organize by hand. All of the political propaganda, the political newspapers, are distributed by hand. And for example, the Workers' Party has 15,000 newspapers, and they deliver in subscriptions by hand. So each group has its people, and they deliver by hand. And so, because they need it to figure out what to do, what shall we do, right? So they need to read the paper, they need to see the video.
And the P.O. powers that be can not destroy it.
That's right.
B E because it is not centralized. It is everywhere.
Right, because where does the information come from? It comes from every factory, every popular assembly, every roadblock. It comes the information, and it goes out to everybody. So this, you know, and it's a need.
They in the 70s.
Right.
Frank has said in the 70s it was easy to infiltrate and destroy the underground press because it was centralized.
Ah, right. Right. I understand. To give you an idea of what's happening, remember the Black Panther breakfast program. Okay,
yes.
In Argentina, they have soup kitchens organized in many communities, and they organize it with all the neighbors, and they participate when there's a big demonstration for something else. Everybody participates on all the list. They come together, they make a list of demands, and everybody helps everybody, so nobody gets isolated on their own, right? So this is, you can't infiltrate. They can try, they can try it. They always will. But it's a living, breathing thing, and the media is needed by the people. Mm. People need it.
S. So, how do we? L. E. A. Learn from that, from them.
Okay. One example is the Arnold Beverly tape, for example. Many people do not know that Mumia is innocent. Many people do not know that Arnold Beverly confessed to the crime. And we, you know, the Labor Action Committee, the Free Mumia, of which I am a member, have a tape, a video, with the confession. And people don't know that the court refused to admit this, you know, evidence, what is it? Innocence is no excuse, right? So with this video, if you can get this video and show it to people in public places, then people open their eyes like this and say, I had no idea, right? I thought I lived in a democracy. I thought if somebody confesses to a crime, they free the innocent man. So that's one thing that people are beginning to learn. But still, there are still stereotypes because people think if they don't show on Channel 9 or they don't show on Channel 11,
that's
not true. You go to a concert and you put a $100 TV with the video in it and people gather around, they see it.
Yes.
Right? So that's important.
Like we, P, L, played. We played it on Lover, the tape.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful.
A. L. O. A lot. Yes.
That's right.
We. Don't. We. We have. A. S. I. T, a site for news, lover.org, where we keep all the news stuff.
Ah, very good.
Yes.
Very good. That's important.
Where we archive. We archive, you know, anything that we think should stay up there, we put up there.
Fantastic.
Yes.
And then when people need it, they have it.
They can just go and listen.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
We do A D A I daily news program on Lover that then gets archived on lover.org.
Very good.
Yes,
very
an good. Hour.
Because people here, for example, the struggle of the dock workers. The press makes it look like the dock workers are greedy workers. They earn $300,000 a year, and they are making a strike. These are lies. You know, I mean, there's no strike. It's a lockout. They make what any skilled worker makes, and they have to work overtime. So sometimes they earn double salary, but basically they're very hard working, and they want to defend their hard won rights from decades since the general strike of 1934, and the media make it look the opposite. So, for example, media videos need to be made so that people can see. In Argentina, I want to tell you about the struggle to free Raúl Castells. Raúl Castells is a leader of an organization called the Independent Movement of Pensioners and Unemployed. And he began with a small group of people, old age pensioners, because
they, always.
Yes, always.
Always small.
That's right, that's right. Because it's real, real, right?
Yes.
Like, right? And so they went to a supermarket and they said, we pay here a fortune. You made a lot of money from us. Now we don't have work. Give us food. So they gave $2,000 of food. And then 4 days later, they arrested him for extortion.
Oh, my.
So he's been in prison for 4 years. He went to the city hall and said, we want jobs for everybody. We want unemployment insurance, blah, blah, blah. And they arrested him he went to speak to the mayor. So they arrested him for kidnapping the mayor. It's not true. Okay, so how did they get... Raul Castells was freed last Sunday. There was a tent city outside the courthouse of several thousand unemployed students, workers, unemployed altogether, and they got him out. Okay, the reason is because they didn't use stupid stereotypes. I must go to the Democrats, politicians, I must go to Channel 9. If I get the video on Channel 9, I can free Mumia. No. You know, I mean, obviously, it would, you know, if we could put the video on Channel 9, it would. But, we, you know, they're not going to give us Channel 9. So we have to make our own. So what they did, every demonstration, every roadblock for years, there's always a flag that says free Raul Castells. So, for example, you go to Berkeley and they're talking about Palestine, free Mumia, right? You go, the homeless have a problem, the police are attacking the homeless in Berkeley, so there's a sign, free Mumia, Mumia is innocent, everywhere. Mm-hmm. So the struggle to free Mumia has to be in every struggle. So this is what they did in Argentina. With Raul Castells, all of the struggles they politicized it instead of bleaching it, right? I mean, they politicized it, and that's how they got him out. And eventually, even the politicians came down the last day, the last weekend, you know, to say, oh, yes, free Raul Castells. Okay, fine, no problem, you can speak. But Raul Castells is free because of the struggle of the unemployed for persevering year after year, and that's what we have to think. In other words, we have to share out all of the demands, not centralized, but share. If we are struggling, the problem in the United States is the sectoralism. I'm struggling for more books in the library, so I must not offend anyone, so I mustn't talk about the homeless. So I'll only, or the swimming. I went to the night that we were there, swimming pool, right?
Yes.
So the swimming pool, the people who want the swimming pool, don't they see it's the same people who are taking away the swimming pool who are attacking the homeless? So we have to unite the struggles.
F-R-A-G, fragile, no, fragmented, fragmentation.
That's right.
They see.
Mm-hmm.
O, U, they count on it.
That's right.
They count on it.
That's
fragmentation.
Right. Very much. For example, the war. Obviously, the war. We're all against the war. You know, we don't want the war. The war is a war on working people. But we must include other things to explain why they want to make a war. Right.
The in are in reality. L, it is all the same.
It's all the same struggle. It's all the same struggle. And it's all over the world, internationally, the same crisis and the same solution. A revolution is what we need.
They,
a socialist revolution.
They have PLA played the SELL cell. They have played the S shell. The shell game.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So everybody plays the game. Everybody plays the conventional game.
Yes.
So I mustn't offend anyone, so I must keep it vanilla. I must keep it quiet. Just talk about the swimming pool, right? Don't talk about the taxes. Don't talk about Israel, the divest Israel.
So where? When? someone like me does not care who I offend.
That's right. We don't care who we offend, because we're not going to offend people who struggle. We're only going to offend people who want to protect their power. That's
yes.
They protect their power, and we do need. I think we need a political alternative. We need a political party, but it has to be. It has to reflect the people who really struggle, because. For example, in the trade union struggle, the dock workers, Dianne Feinstein, a Democrat, she said, "Oh, Taft Hartley is terrible," and then she said, "No, it's okay. Taft Hartley is important because they're hurting the economy." So the dock workers said, "We have to punish Dianne Feinstein politically, but how can we punish her politically? We don't have a working class party. We don't have a workers' party." That's what we need, but it has to be built on real people who really struggle, and completely free access to media, and to understand how all the struggles are connected. I think that's basically, and that's what's happening in Argentina right now. The students are occupying social sciences building. You've got 10,000 people marching one day for workers' control of the factory. 10,000 people, including middle class and students, to support the subway workers who struggle for a law of 6 hours work. Instead of firing, right, we say share the work and the hours between everybody for the same salary. And they elected some radical politicians, Jorge Altamir of the Workers' Party. He presented a bill. 6 hours work for and no firing. Nobody loses their job. They have a big demonstration outside, and the students come, and the middle class come, the popular assembly come, because they organize with huge assemblies where they vote. One delegate for 40 people. They have a national assembly, and they vote a plan of struggle. And it includes all the struggles of everybody. And that's what we need to do here in Berkeley, for example, a big meeting. And you have delegates, some by neighborhood, some by university, some by trade union, and the homeless, for example, can elect delegates by one delegate for each 20. And you come together, you make a big list of demands, right? And it includes the trade union, it includes the students, it includes everything. And you make massive demonstrations, and you vote a plan of struggle. Okay, the first day, we will march. The second day, we will block the highway for 1 hour. Okay, then if they don't do anything, for example, we want to stop the police from harassing the homeless. Okay, so 1 hour, we block the street. Then, if nothing happens, the next time for 2 hours, the next time for 4 hours, etc. But everybody comes. So this is what will begin to happen, I hope, because this is what's happening in Argentina, and that it's a very interesting process.
Do they use FLY flyers?
Yes, they do. They use flyers.
H-E here. It is. Oh, it's becoming illegal to put flyers up in various parts of.
Oh, really?
Of here in the Bay Area. No,
In Argentina, they have flyers and posters.
Yes.
A lot of posters. They put up posters in the street. Of course, not on private property. But
anyway. Yeah. What? When? They T are tried to see E censor my show on BTV. We put flyers. Is that what you're talking about, the flyers? The Berkeley City Council is trying to censor your public access channel.
Right.
And, okay. The Berkeley City Council is trying to censor your public access channel. Call them to let them know it's not okay with you.
Very
and we
good.
Put them everywhere.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. And yeah. we have pintadas, where we paint slogans on bridges, for example. And we paint slogans in the street.
That
yeah.
is... That is I...
Illegal.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah. Of course. But we have to think of creative ways of doing it. I don't know. And it's illegal because they say it's illegal and nobody challenges it. So we have to challenge these.
Did not.
Yeah.
T. O. Tom. P. A. Thomas Paine.
Ah. Common sense.
What yes. F. Flyer. Didn't Thomas Paine flyer?
Right. He had flyers. Right.
That's what he did, yeah.
Yeah, you got to have flyers. And with the internet, you can send a mail and people can photocopy some flyers. And
they. K. N. O. They know. That. They know that. What they know what? They know that. F. L. Flyers. R. And. G. R. Graffiti. Are effective.
That's right.
That's why they're trying to make it illegal.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In Argentina, in all of South America, graffiti. It's an essential part of political struggle, right? Right. Absolutely. Here, no. Here they have bumper stickers. Bumper stickers.
S. T. R. E. Street. M. U. Musicians.
Uh-huh. That's right.
That is, that's another thing that's illegal.
Of course. But it's illegal because people don't challenge. People have to organize to challenge this illegality.
They think MA, mass media, is... where you can get people. They think mass media is where you can get people, but they in reality F flyering G R A G R A graffiti W E T C W E T C E etc. Is where you can get is how you can get people.
Yes, it's direct. Because
yes.
It's direct. And if you have an organization, you can give out in every neighborhood. You can make a newspaper. You can.
Right, so you're saying that's the way that the power structure, that's one of the ways the power structure is fighting, is because as long as people keep thinking that that there's more, it's more effective to go through the mass media.
That's right.
And then they're not doing the things like putting up the flyers and doing the graffiti and stuff.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, yeah, but they're so focused on trying to get their tape on Channel 9 that they're not challenging graffiti being illegal.
That's right. And the mass media will come when we organize the mass movement. When the plan of struggle of the Assembly of Workers was published in the principal, it's like the New York Times, in La Nación, the principal daily published the plan of struggle of the picateros, because they're saying, what's this? Right? But how do they get the organization? From the flyers and from the action and from the small artisanal forms of because it's they organize the people who struggle. Then the ruling class sits up and listens, and they send their journalists to interview. For example, the funniest thing, the 1st of May of this year, 10,000 people in Plaza de Mayo in Argentina saying, struggle, fight, workers to power. Okay, 10,000. Okay, workers. And the journalists came and interviewed workers to power, but what kind of government is that? That's not fair. It's only one sector of society. No, we are the sector. We can provide a solution for all of the sectors, for all of the people, because the existing situation, blah, 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 blah. So you have a whole revolutionary discussion on the mainstream media when we are able to organize, you know, through roadblocks, through mass action, you know, then they will come. But to try to professionalize, you know, our communications is a bad idea, because it weakens our the mailings. I can't stand the first thing they do is that you go to an organization to struggle against anything, and they give you a 3x5 card, and you have to write your name again for the mailing. You know, this is crazy.
That gives them P.O. power.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. They have their nice little organization. Right. Right. Wonderful. Right. And the people pay dues and they bureaucratize. But when the need to fight comes, then the people organize, and then you get something that the media come and
look at. L. Lover has L-A-L-A-L-A-B-O labor shows.
That's right. Absolutely. Very good. Very good. And lover.com cannot create the revolution, but lover.com can serve the revolution and will be as strong as the revolution needs it to be. And it's the people who are struggling who need to come to lover.com and other groups like that to say, here's my tape, you know, here's my stuff, please put it on the internet. You know, then everybody who needs it can go to it. For example, in Argentina, Jorge Altamira gave a speech on the 2nd of August to 5,000 workers, and he spoke about the general situation, right? And they used the video for political discussion all over the country, all over Argentina, as a way of creating a good political discussion to understand what to do, right, for example. But they don't have a streaming site. That would be good. We need to organize that to help them. So the Ojo Obrero has their streaming site.
Like, even in B. Berkeley, the P. H. P. U. Public Access Channel. O only A airs only airs 1-0 10 hours.
A week or a month? Or?
A day, and then they have that calendar going. Is that what you mean? Yeah, yeah.
Can
so
I
they
use it, for example, to alert people. We have a problem. Let's go down there and gather together or something.
I would think R A radical
right.
Would P R O D produce shows.
That's right.
So you're wondering, what are you wondering, why the radicals aren't producing the shows to use the public access channel? Is that it? But why are not we using what we have.
That's
is that
right.
Something that that's already right. Exists?
We
why
must
don't,
do
why
that.
Aren't we using it?
That's right. We must do that. Yes. At the Pueyrredón Bridge, which was one of the blockades, the roadblocks they did on June 26th, I have the video. They went to film it, and a woman was shot in the leg with a bullet, and they interviewed her, and she was taken to the hospital. They smuggled the camera to the hospital room. They took a picture of the woman, which saved her life, you know, they can't do anything to her. And then they showed this. They took it to the mainstream media. The media showed a part of it. But more important, they distributed this in all their different organizations, in all the different offices and the locals. That's the way they do it. They show what's going on, and everybody knows what's happening.
S. So, how? C. O. How come? We. H, E, we hear, don't
right.
Get, don't do that.
I think because people are not convinced we must change the regime. People need, in struggling, people think they can reform the regime. And so they think it's not necessary to make an alternative form of communication. Because, and I think that once people realize that the only way we're ever going to get a public library, a school, a decent livelihood, you know, is to change the regime. So when people begin to realize this, then they will begin to see the need to have our own information stream, our own information. But here in the States, we're a little bit behind. But the struggle in the United States is the best ally of all of the people in Argentina. When I see them, they say, "What's happening in the United States? When is the working class? When are the students going to occupy the buildings? When is the revolution starting in the United States?" Because that's the best ally of all of the struggles of the Palestinian people, of the Argentine people, of the Colombian, the Venezuelan. They all look to the United States. And I am confident that there will be an answer because of the tremendous attacks. Just now, they're going to end the Congress, and they voted money for the 22nd of November for the federal government to operate. And when in the lame duck Congress, they're going to pass a series of attacks on the people and on the working class that's unprecedented. And I think that it's a question of time now before people begin to say, okay, we've got to organize. This is crazy, right? We're getting ripped off, and we've got to organize to stop that. That's how it starts.
So it's
right?
got to get bad enough for everybody or for a lot of people.
It's getting bad, but people still have illusions, you know, and we must begin to give alternative information. For example, the situation in Argentina is serious, you know. Mm. I mean, there's a big struggle, and it's similar to, it's getting to the point like Spain in the 30s. I mean, it's getting to a revolutionary situation, but people here don't know about it. So we have right now a Yahoo group to show the information, but Argentina Solidarity, but it's not enough.
We are S-T-A starting.
That's right.
To starting A S H O a show.
Uh-huh.
On Lover for the tapes that you give us.
Great. Fantastic. Yes. Fantastic. Yes. So people can see what's happening. They can see the video about the rebellion of December 19th and 20th, where where not only did they close the banks and say that money has to go to pay the U.S. Treasury and the IMF and the World Bank, so your life savings, forget it, right? Then they declared martial law when the people began to protest about this. And so the people came out and they said, no, you know, we're not taking it, you know. And so, we got that video. And then more importantly, this spirit continues organized in the popular assemblies. So, for example, there's this video here, which is Asamblea Popular, it's Popular Assemblies. I'm going to try and get a copy with English subtitles, if I can. Although, I don't know if on the streaming you see the subtitles. You do. But maybe we can dub.
Yeah. You can read them. Yeah.
Okay. So, for example, to see how the people come out, and they didn't stop at the rebellion only of overthrow, because in Ecuador they overthrew the president, but were not able to take power because they didn't have the forms of organization necessary. But here they're beginning to make, you know, a popular assembly, you know, and 150 of them. And you know what they did? For example, they go to the hospital. The hospital, there's no medication, so the whole popular assembly goes to the pharmaceutical company and demand that they give medications and supplies for the hospital. Okay. Mm-hmm. The other day, just 2 days ago, one popular assembly of Congress went into the telephone company and occupied the telephone company as a protest against the rate hikes that they're doing. So this kind of thing is very important for people here to see this, because we have to dare to struggle in different forms, not just in the traditional and the old ways, you know, in very confined manners. But very promising is the way that in the Poor Workers Solidarity Committee, very disparate groups are coming to support the struggle of the ILWU. That's very interesting for me, because I think that's new in the United States, and I think we're going to see more of that, where you have students or people you would expect to go and defend the evergreens or the redwoods or whatever, going and getting arrested at the PMA, right, at the Maritime Conglomerates office, locking out the in order to show the people that it's a lockout, it's not a strike. Okay, so that, you know, I think that's promising. And if people get accustomed to giving their material to shows like this, then we're getting somewhere. Because they can't stop it. They can't do anything about it. They can't stop it. They can, you know, that's good.
What? How? How did you get P.O. politicized?
Okay. Well, really politicized when I went to Argentina, but I was born in England. I lived here in the States. I went to UCLA. I participated in the anti-war demonstrations, and then I went traveling around. Then I wound up in Argentina, and I got married, and I lived there for 25 years. And there, you know, obviously the struggle is much more intense because the oppression is more intense. And I learned a lot about how people struggle to defend themselves against the attack of capitalism and imperialism and the IMF and the World Bank and the FDA and all of this. And that's my real process of being politicized.
I mean, one's example of what you were saying. You learned how...
Okay. For example, in factories. For example, here, when workers... When there's like the dock workers have a problem. So we should not be afraid of making a flyer and going down and talking to the workers and saying, what about this, these ideas, and discussing, right? In Argentina, we do that. We go to a factory, we give flyers, and, you know, there's a very interesting interchange between radicals and workers. Here in the United States, I have had people say to me, oh, no, you can't do that here, because the workers, it's a secret society. They will decide on their own. You can't go and talk to workers. You know, you have to be inside the union. That's not true. That's not true. It's a lie. Why is it not true? Because the workers have tremendous pressures on them. They can't, you know, I mean, there's limits. They need people to come and begin debates so that they can participate in a debate. Because they've got their foreman, they've got the bureaucrat, they've got all kinds of pressures, and they need help. It's very invigorating for a worker to come out of a factory and there's somebody there with a flyer, and that creates a discussion, so it gives them a chance to talk about something. I mean, obviously, both things are necessary, but that's one example. The other example is the street, the use of the street, you know, the militant use of the street, which is taken very seriously and defended, you know, in Argentina, to block the highway. Now, I had a chance to put this into practice in the Los Angeles Rebellion, because I was here from 88 to 92. And in the Los Angeles Rebellion, I was in the middle of it with my friends. We struggled against the war against Iraq together. And when the Rodney King thing happened, we got involved, you know. And they were burning cafes and burning a store. And I said, what would we do in Argentina? I know, we'd block a highway. And I said, let's block the 101. And they did it. Everybody said, oh, that's a good idea. We blocked the 101. And that made a statement. That made a political statement. No business as usual. No justice, no peace, really, right? So those are ways in Argentina. And of course, there is repression, but okay. And in other countries like Chile, sometimes when you make a demonstration of 100,000 people, unfortunately, one person may get killed, or some people will be injured, some people will be arrested. You know, you can get killed crossing the street too, but we have to not be afraid of struggling, because that's the way we defend ourselves, really, against attack.
REV, revolution, is VI. Oh, violent.
Good.
VI violence is not a EF effective.
That's right.
Tool for revolution. Revolution is violent, but violence is not an effective tool for a revolution.
Right.
If you use violence, ULOS, you lose a you lose if you get them to be violent. A. G. Against you.
You win.
You win.
Right. I agree. The violence is the regime, is the babies dying of hunger every day. The more massive the protest, we don't need to be violent. You see, what they do is when people begin to defend their rights, when neighbors begin to defend their rights, the media criminalizes the people and say, oh, they are violent. You know, but what, they're not violent. They're defending their rights. You know, blocking a road for an hour is not an act of violence, right? But babies dying of hunger and single mothers not having food to put on the table is violence. So we have to to emancipate ourselves. And the more massive, the less violent we have to be. But we are attacked. When we are attacked, we have the right to defend ourselves. But the more massive, the less we have to actually use force to defend.
And don't P-L-E do not P no L L-E let them S E T set R U rules
exactly
in on P R O T E protests
right. We make a dual power in every protest.
Don't G go on in to, oh, like the fenced in area, for example, when they had fenced in areas,
right.
They said you can protest in the fenced in areas. Don't do that.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
For example, in New York, I went to a demonstration in defense of the Intifada, and the police had the demonstration in little blocks, you know, and we couldn't even get in. You know, the people have to organize to refuse to permit this. Absolutely. But we have to dare. We mustn't be sheep, because they can't do anything. If it's massive, the other day, the picateros marched over the Puente Pueyrredón to protest the telephone rates going up. And the police said, okay, we're going to search you to see if you have sticks. Because it's common in Argentina to have sticks to make a cordon around the demonstration. And they said, there are 10,000 of us. Nobody's going to be searched. You're not searching us. We're marching through. And they marched through. So that's the way. And the more massive, the more you can do that. And that's what we have to get used to doing. Then they don't make the rules. We make the rules. And we are against individual terrorism. We are against indiscriminate terrorism. We are for working class forms of organization. But we make the rules. Because you know.
Don't B P O L I political T E polite. Don't be polite.
Yeah, right. And that don't be afraid to not accept the fences. The fences is what's killing us. The fences
yes.
are what are dividing
yes.
us.
Yes.
The fences, right? The lawns and the streets, the sidewalks, the private sidewalks and the private bathrooms.
A. M-A. Make. Them. H. I. T. Hit. Make them hit.
That's right. For example, the factories in Argentina, the owners leave the factories and the workers occupy the factories. And so the owners go to the court and they say, oh, they've stolen my property. My property, what property? All of that property is created by the work of the people working there year after year. And if they are so useless that they are leaving the factory, the worker has every right to expropriate the machinery and to make the factory work under their own control. And this is, there's no way you can argue against that. That's our right, because we, everything that exists, we make. So it's ours. We just need to understand the power that we have, right? So everybody has to work for a living, you know. It's an end to exploitation of man by man. We don't want that. It's inefficient. It doesn't solve problems. It's creating anarchy. We need an organized society where everybody can work and everybody can eat and everybody can have education and everybody can get laid and everything we need. So there's no way we can do that with the fences there. It's just illogical.
Ken, where is A R T art in?
Very good. Every popular assembly has artists of the neighborhood. They have photographic displays. They have, for example, the 24th of March is the anniversary of the genocidal coup d'etat of the military dictatorship of Argentina in 1976. That was the 24th of March. So every 24th of March, there's a huge march, and all day art piece, photographs and pictures are shown in the Plaza de Mayo all day, and the people's demonstration of art. So it's a people's art that appears on the street as part of the protest. And the old People's Park here had something of that. You know, the People's Park was a good example of not accepting the myth of private property. It's sitting there. We need a park. That's it. And then people can do their creative things. And you know, but that's what they're most afraid of. Right? You're right. Right. And in Argentina, there are some groups that say, we mustn't do this. We must negotiate with the government. But you're negotiating with your executioner. You know, that's what are you going to negotiate?
Why? And why negotiate? We have the N numbers.
That's right. We have the numbers, we have the power, we make everything, we can make everything we need. We all need to help each other to understand how much power we have. I think that's what we have to do, right in the neighborhood, in small ways, in big ways, and information is a good way. When there's a victory, like Raul Castells is freed because of political struggle, the whole world needs to find out about that. So a video will be made, and we'll get the video to you as soon as it's made, and it can be shown to people in other countries that if you persevere, you can get your prisoners released from jail. In this country, we have 150 or 200 political prisoners, some of them from the 60s. We must get the prisoners out of jail.
That we P played. There was a political prisoners conference. Gerald was involved in that.
Excellent.
We actually taped the entire thing, played the entire thing.
Wonderful.
And then we serialized it, so we replayed it at once a week, a couple hours.
Yeah.
That.
I want to get that.
Pardon? And it's archived.
Oh, I must get that to the people in Argentina so they can see, for example, and in other Latin American countries, they can see that.
That is D A That's dangerous.
Exactly.
B, because when we give, when we think of P, prisoners, it broke every stereotype that we imagine like a middle class person would have of a prisoner.
It was
an incredibly loving, open group of people.
That's right.
And everybody would talk about, you know, what they've been through.
That's right.
For no reason, really, all these years of their life in prison. And that's then Gerald would say, do you have any regrets? Would you do it again?
Fantastic.
I would do it again. That's, I have no regrets.
So beautiful.
G, E, Gerald, A, asked. Gerald asked Frank if he would write a series of questions. And so after each political prisoner spoke, Gerald went up to them on camera and asked them this group of questions
fantastic.
That Frank wrote up.
Fantastic.
And, and that's what we say. This is really dangerous stuff because people who have this picture of, like, prisoners, you know, and they see this. If people, S, E, C, them, that, if people see that, all the L, I, the lies.
That's right.
All the lies.
Dissolve.
B, dissolve. B, E. Become clear.
That's right. They criminalize us, and also they demoralize us. They try to say you can't. They try to sell us the lie that we can't do anything. That's why we must work with the political prisoners, because who will follow us to struggle if we cannot get the prisoners out? So,
but
it's very important.
They, but it. Did not work on them. It didn't work on them, meaning the political prisoners. What was the it that didn't work? The demoralizing? Right, because they weren't demoralized at all.
Right.
Yes.
Right, right. And this October 22nd, right, there's a political prisoner activity, I think. I don't know, in San Francisco.
I don't know that we know about that.
On October 22nd, there is a, I can't remember the name, there's a political activity to against police brutality, that's right, against police brutality on October 22nd. Maybe we should do something for that. It's very important. The Mothers of Plaza de Mayo in Argentina, have you heard of them? The Mothers of Plaza de Mayo?
No.
Okay. During the military dictatorship, a group of mothers of disappeared fighters went to the Plaza de Mayo and began to walk around. Every Thursday at 3 o'clock, they began to walk around the pyramid in the Plaza de Mayo. They suffered abuse. They suffered. The police came and hit them. They persevered and they persevered. And they today are an important... may not agree with every political idea they have, but they are very important because they are like the ethical, I don't know, a moral choir of Argentina. In many struggles, the workers are in the struggle, the Mothers of Plaza de Mayo come. So, for example, here, if you form an organization with the mothers and they confront the system, they say, you took my child alive, I want him back alive, okay? And they stand there in the street, and that gets the media to come, and that creates a moral force that cleans and breaks the stereotype they want to put, and the mothers say, I'm proud of my son. He's a wonderful person because he's struggling for justice, right? And to break the criminalization, and the young people are. Look up to people who struggle. That's what we want, you know. They are an important group. I will give you material about them. And I think I'll bring a video of the Mothers of Plaza de Mayo.
Yes.
You should get to know the organization. They wear the handkerchief over their head. You may have seen it at some time.
Yes. We need.
Yes.
M. O. We need more. P. People. W. I. With. C. A. Cameras.
That's right. That's right. I left my digital. The Ojo Obrero, the Worker's Eye, have no cameras. All of the cameras are broken. They have one digital camera. We must help them. I don't know. I'm trying to sell their videos to raise money to send for them because they have no cameras and they have no equipment. And that's very required. On the 20th of December, we are going to make an activity here in the Bay Area to commemorate the popular rebellion of last December 20th when they deposed the president. So we'll make a big event, and we hope you will come, and we will raise some money and inform people about the popular rebellion and the spirit of the popular rebellion in Argentina. El Argentinazo, they call it. So we'll do that event here to support them. But sure, cameras and language is another problem. The language barrier, racism is an essential part of the way they keep us divided. And we need to have Spanish speaking. I had a wonderful experience in Los Angeles last May 1st. 10,000, nobody knows, 10,000 Spanish speaking, Korean speaking, Philippine speaking workers in front of the federal building. The organization meetings, had to be translated between the three languages, English, Spanish, and Tilingo, in order for the organizers to get the buses organized. It was beautiful. That's what we need. So you have to think of internationalizing your site eventually.
And
yeah.
Was that the J A N I
Janitors for Justice participated? Yes. Janitors for Justice, the hotel workers,
yes.
The textile workers.
Yes.
There was a supermarket, the Assisi supermarket in Los Angeles. They are trying to make a union, and the owners, it's a big struggle. There were sewing people, five people came from a factory with a sign saying, 1st of May in Spanish, Primero de Mayo, Día Internacional de los Trabajadores. 1st of May, International Day of the Workers, like a spontaneous thing. People came from churches, like an organized group from a church, a Korean, 10,000 people, amazing. Mm. So something is happening. And the language barrier is another problem we need to address. Spanish English is easier, but still it's a problem. You know, we need to have a lot of people to translate stuff, and if you volunteers to help,
Is that a wrap? Yes. Yeah. U R E M I reminded me of, you remind me of my F R I, my friend G O
Godfrey.
Is that Godfrey that made the movie? Yeah, Kayana Scotzi. There's a movie that was...
I saw that movie in Buenos Aires.
Godfrey is the person that made it. He's an old friend of Frank's, and he said that you remind him of him.
Very nice movie, that one.
Yes.
Very nice.
On, in the 70s,
yeah,
he was a E X X M O M O N monk. In the 70s, he was an ex-monk in S.A. Santa Fe, New Mexico. S.T.A. started a... G R a group of C H I Chicano
in Spanish, right?
Who O N only A Y E year before B O M bombed where I was living. This group of Chicanos had bombed the place you were living a year before, but when Godfrey kind of worked with them or organized them or got involved with them, they became like the B L Black Panthers.
Right. We say in Spanish in Argentina, organizar la bronca, organize the rage. Organize the rage. So the rage goes to change society. That's right.
E X exactly.
Yeah.
They T H O U they thought the H I hippies were the enemy.
Right, of course. Yeah.
S
I understand.
So, when they R E A L realized that was the S H E the shell game.
Right, the shell game. Show game is the enemy, right.
When they realized that, they S-T-A, they started working with the hippies, with
the community.
We, us. They started working with us.
Very good. Very good. Very good. That's excellent. That's right. The unity of action and organize the rage. That's great. Yeah.
They. M. They. S. T. A. R. Started. F. O. L. Following. The. C. O. P. Following the cops.
That's right. Very good. Very good. And defending against police brutality and documenting the abuse.
Great. Yes. Great. Yes.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Fantastic.
And S. T. A. Started. A. C. L. A club. No, C. L. I. A clinic.
Ah, people's clinic, right. To people have to take into their own hands the solutions to the problem. And that's one of the lessons of the Argentine rebellion. The Argentinazo is the people begin to do this, right? Make a clinic and, okay, so where are we going to get the medication? Okay, so we go to Johnson & Johnson and say, we got a clinic here, we need medication. You take 1,000 people down there, they're only too happy to help out. And that's the way to do it.
In?
I mean, it's a way to get the ball rolling. It's not a definitive solution, but it starts the organization, right?
In. F. A. In fact, it is S U R P R I surprise J surprise E A S
Surprisingly easy. Surprisingly easy.
Surprisingly easy.
To organize, sure. Because people have needs. And, people realize that if they organize. There was a woman, I didn't bring pictures, two people who lived in a very poor neighborhood, working class neighborhood. They were trying to make a soup kitchen. And they went to the politicians, they went to the Catholic Church, nobody. But with the Polo Obrero went and they organized it themselves, helped them organize it themselves. They went around to the different shops and they got stuff and they organized it, you know.
That was what the K.I. the kids did. The kids B. O, the kid bombers did. No, the kid bomb. The kids bombed. Boy. They bombed the soup kitchen. I, O, you, out, our, your the soup kitchen that you ran. That's this is the year before that they got involved. That's the place they bombed the soup kitchen that Frank and his friends had started.
Very good. They're excellent. Excellent. That's the way. That's the way. And then the criminalization stops and the unity begins and the organization begins. That's great. Sounds good. Interesting.
Where can people get
information?
Information,
sure.
Yeah.
We have here the contact key. Maybe you can put a link to our... We have a Yahoo group. It's Argentina_Solidarity. Argentina Solidarity. I'll leave you a copy of this.
Yes.
And maybe you can put a link in your news page. Every day we update information about... For example, here on this day we have information about the National Workers' Assembly. So you can see the 1,500 delegates voting, you know, their plan of struggle and everything. And the next day we had the march when they freed Castells. Every day the occupation of the university. And we have always articles in English and Spanish, bilingual. You can practice your Spanish and learn about Argentina. So this is a Yahoo group. It's a groups.yahoo.com/group/Argentina_solidarity.
Yes.
And there you can get information about every day what's going on in Argentina. And
if we have it on lover.org, and then people don't even have to remember that,
that's
right?
Great.
We'll just put that, so they just have to go to lover.org.
And we hope in the future to with the streaming of the video, maybe we can begin to ask people to buy copies in order to make support for the workers' eye, the Ojo Obrero, so they can get cameras and stuff. But we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, whatever we can do. The main thing also is to get the information out.
Right? Yes. What is your name?
Okay. My name is Vicente. Right. We didn't say Vicente Balvanera. Vicente Balvanera. That's right. And
okay.
Vicente
Balvanera. Yeah.
Thank you very much for letting me be. It was a lot of fun to be here. A lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
Yes. Your player is going to stop. You need to hit play again. Next week on the Shaman's Den is a music jam. So.
Ah.
Okay.